Good morning and welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church for August 9th, our online worship service. I'm Pastor Randy Clausen, and wherever you are today, we hope you're enjoying the day, and thank you again for joining us in worship. If you can, download the order of service from our website or contact the church office, and we'll include you on an email listing of both the bulletin and the order of service. If you know of someone who doesn't have computer access, contact the church office and we'll include them in a snail mail listing that's sent out every 2 weeks, which has both the order bulletin and the copies of the printed messages. This week, use your camera or your cell phone to make a short video. In 1 minute or less, tell us how you've seen God providing during these days. Maybe you've learned something new, perhaps you've changed your routines, and in some way, learn to grow deeper in your faith. For older kids with grandparents, make a video of them and share that with us. The deadline for submissions is August 10th, so we can get those edited and prepared to share for August 16th. Lots of other good things happening. See the bulletin for details and respond to those accordingly. Note that Pastor Nick is still on a parental leave, and we wish him and his family an enjoyable time. During the month of August, our worship series is based on the wilderness experiences in the book of Exodus, and you're invited to read chapters 15 to 20. Today's theme is provision in the wilderness, and a message will be shared by our youth pastor, our youth minister, Taya Himes. As we prepare, I share these words from Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of his wonderful acts. He spread out a cloud as a covering, a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well and with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, for the sense of trying times these days, we look to you to provide what we need. Thank you for the grace we have in Jesus Christ, in whose name we worship and whose name we serve. May you inspire us these days, particularly with the words from Taya this morning, and may our service to Christ be a help and support for others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A hymn of God's leading and guidance, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. See the link and join in singing or simply listen to the song. Thank you. God's blessing. I'm at the front entrance of the church, and on behalf of the reopening committee, want to welcome you to anticipate the day when we can all safely be here again for worship. If all goes well, we anticipate a gathering for the first time on September 6th. When we gather, let me take a few minutes to share how most likely some things will be done a bit different. First of all, remember, if you or anyone in your family bubble is ill in any way, please stay home. Likewise, stay home if anyone in your bubble has returned from to Canada in the last 14 days. See the COVID-19 checklist for specifics. Now, given that entering the building is going to take longer, you may want to arrive a bit earlier than usual. And if you do, please remember to keep that 2 meter physical distance from others. Remember that the church is a public space, and so we all need to wear masks. If you don't have one, we have a supply at the church, and we know that for a few people, for health reasons, a face shield is going to replace the mask. At this door, or at the front door, if the elevator is needed, you'll be greeted by an usher who will not shake your hand. Instead, they'll ask you to hold out your hands while they squirt hand sanitizer for you to rub in your hands until it dries. We ask that you not wander around the church building. You'll notice that the majority of the mailboxes at the front entrance are empty, so unless you've specifically been told that something's there, there's no need to go and look because they're empty. We also ask that you not use the basement or the library downstairs or the downstairs washrooms. If it's really needed, the handicap washroom off the foyer will be available, but we do plan to keep the service a bit shorter than usual, so hopefully that's not an issue. Once again, remember, stay in your family bubble, keep physical distance from mothers, and don't linger in the hallways or the foyer. Enter the sanctuary through the center aisles, and to help us maintain physical distancing, an usher will be there to tell you where to sit, staggered in the pews. Now I know, for some of you, being told where to sit is going to be a challenge, but think of it in this way. It'll be a change of view. Help us all out to stay safe. And may the Lord bless the ushers who help us all. When the service is over, the ushers will ask you to exit from the outside aisles. Please do so while maintaining physical distance. And for our worship of sharing the morning offering, there will be baskets on a table as you exit out the sanctuary. The temptation in the foyer will be to stop and talk with people you've not seen in a long time. However, we ask that you keep moving toward the exit because one of the people behind you really needs to use the washroom and they want to get home to do so safely. For all the details, our goal is to keep everyone safe and healthy so that we can share as a faith community once again. Just remember, as the COVID situation changes, we will update our procedures. Thanks again for your cooperation. We look forward to seeing you and sharing in worship of our God and Lord Jesus Christ.
I invite you to join me in an opening prayer. Loving God, we find ourselves living in a world right now that we just don't understand. In this time, we are dealing with isolation, loneliness, and fear. I pray that we are reminded of your goodness and mercy and that you walk beside us. Guide us through the wilderness we find ourselves in and help us to look to you for provision and strength. Amen.
Today I'll be reading from Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 15. The whole Israelite community set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is this?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat."
Good morning, and welcome to another service with us at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. Throughout the month of August, we are looking at A Way Through the Wilderness, reflecting on some of the feelings and emotions that we as a people have been and are currently experiencing throughout this coronavirus pandemic. I know we have heard this endlessly, but we are truly living in unprecedented times. This is a completely new experience for all of us. And with that can come a roller coaster of emotions, including uncertainty, a sense of feeling lost, and a fear of the unknown. Much like the Israelites in our reading this morning, we're in a time where we're sort of wandering around aimlessly in this waiting limbo. We just don't know what the future holds. And for us, control-loving human beings, we have a lot of trouble with that. Throw in distancing measures and wearing masks, and we're completely thrown for a loop. This morning, we meet the Israelites near the beginning of their journey through the wilderness, as reality has set in. They were living in slavery in Egypt for hundreds of years, feeling oppressed and desperate. And God, seeing their persecution, says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." God has heard their cries and calls Moses to send him to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Continuing in chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." So in case there was any doubt, we already see 13 chapters before where we are this morning, that God's purpose for bringing the Israelites out of bondage is to bless them with abundance, an abundance of land and an abundance of sustenance. We see our God is merciful and gracious, generous and loving. From there, Moses goes to Pharaoh, and as many of us know, there was much back and forth, a lot of frogs and hail involved, days of darkness. Finally, Pharaoh lets the Israelites go, and they're free at last. But as they leave for the promised land, Pharaoh has a change of heart and sends his armies after the Israelites, only to have his soldiers be swallowed up by the Red Sea when they are attempting to cross it. To say it's been quite the journey for the Israelites is a gross understatement. After they celebrate their freedom, they're faced with their first challenge. They travel from the Red Sea to the desert of Shur, only to find no drinking water. The Israelites grumble to Moses, "What are we to drink?" And he cries out to God, who provides what they ask for, water fit to drink. Then he lays down this instruction for them in chapter 15, verse 26. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention and keep his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Again, we are given an example of God's love towards his people. He is a God of healing. Today, here we are in chapter 16. The Israelites have moved on to the desert of Sin. They're grumbling against Moses and Aaron, saying, "If we only had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, there we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Clearly, they are none too pleased, which I find a little bit amusing, actually. Throughout Exodus, in the countless chapters prior to where we began this morning, the Israelites have been witness to amazing works by God. Plagues, which they were saved from, deliverance from the Egyptians, the complete miraculous parting of the Red Sea, a piece of wood thrown into the water to make it fit to drink. After seeing all of that, after their freedom being the reason for all of those things. They still doubt their God, as if the same God that brought them out of Egypt and parted a sea for them would turn around and let them starve to death. I understand they were in dire circumstances. I'm sure if I was faced with no food in the middle of the desert, perhaps I would feel a little bit of panic. But still, after everything they saw God do, they still didn't trust him to provide. Part of me can't even imagine complaining after all of that and seeing all of those works. But the other part of me can't help but recognize that I am, in fact, guilty of the very same thing. It just looks a little bit different in life today. Many of us have heard the saying, quote, first world problems. When we are faced with a struggle that to many others throughout the world would be a blessing and not an inconvenience. Like your iPhone isn't updating properly, or Netflix is taking too long to load, or there's just too many options of ice cream on the shelves at the grocery store. These are first world problems. We fall into this routine and habit of accepting all the absolutely incredible blessings God bestows to us, and we meet them with impatience or frustration, or our gut reaction isn't always to first give thanks and be grateful. It's easy for us in our self-sufficient, self-focused society to think we can manage things on our own. We can provide for ourselves. We don't need anyone's help or support. We got this. But it usually doesn't get us too far, or it makes it all the more difficult than it needed to be. But perhaps God lets us experience these struggles and challenges not out of punishment, or because he's forgotten us, or that he doesn't care, but as a reminder in our times of headstrong independence that we are dependent on God for everything. When the Israelites faced hunger, I'm sure they were tempted to lose trust in God as their provider. And yet he answered their prayer, which only grew their bond and belief in him and reassured them of his love. We, now in 2020, need to remember in life's trials and tribulations that we serve a good God. And next time we find ourselves losing sight of his faithfulness, we must ask ourselves if we trust the Lord enough to wait on him, to provide the manna he is sending us in answer to our prayers. I have to say, I think that's something the Israelites got right. They didn't grumble to themselves and wish into the wind that their circumstances would change. They brought their pain to Moses. Could they have worded it or gone about it in a different way? Sure, but hey, they're human. No judgment from me. But this bringing their pain to Moses shows that they have hope for another blessing from God. They brought their concern to the source, looking for a resolution, a response, a better solution than they obviously could come up with themselves. They knew they couldn't get through this alone, and they leaned to the Lord for help. At verse 15, when God answers their concerns and provides them with manna and quail with specific instruction, they don't even know what it is when they finally have it. It says, when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. I'm sure we've all been in this situation a time or two. Sometimes we don't even know a blessing when we see it. In verse 4 and 5, it reads, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other days.'" This instruction reminds me of the beginning of all of this COVID chaos, when you would go to the grocery store and there would be no toilet paper to be found, or Kleenex, or hand soap. Some people had no restraint. They panicked. And I remember experiencing that feeling myself in the grocery store. I'd be on my bi-weekly grocery trip and I'd come to an aisle where the shelves were just completely empty. And for my first world brain, that is not a normal sight to see. And then I'd look and I'd see others walking around with grocery carts overflowing. And it definitely brought about feelings of panic. What am I going to do? What am I going to do without this item? When will it be back in stock? How long will I have to wait for it to be back in stock? What will I do without it until I can get it again? And I can say with gladness that I and my family survived without that missing item, whatever it was, and that God provided what I needed. But sometimes we aren't exactly provided with what we want. I'm sure when the Israelites left Egypt, they were wanting to head straight to that promised land, bring on the milk and honey. But instead, God gave them time to wander. In preparation for this morning, as I was sitting with my family one night, I posed the question, what has God provided for you during COVID? In what ways has God taught you something during this pandemic? My mom said she was given the gift of time. With her hours reduced at work, she had the time for projects around the house that she wanted completed. And she was thankful to have been able to help me with painting and decorating for our Summer Bible Adventure Week at my other job. She's a very talented artist and gets much joy out of creating, and so she is so thankful to have been given the time to do so. My dad said he was provided with the reminder that God is in control. He has a plan for us. And yes, sometimes it may metaphorically look like walking through the desert, but his plan is good and abundant in blessings. My honorary brother said he was taught acceptance for when things don't go the way we planned for or hoped for, to accept again that God's plan is good for our lives. My husband, John, said, and actually basically everyone agreed with this one, that he was given perspective on what is actually a priority and what isn't. Before COVID, John and I led very busy lives, with both of us working multiple jobs, with your typical Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 schedule. Add in some type of social life, and you're left with a schedule with basically no downtime. And we've been at that place for a while now. We've always accepted it because we truly love all the things that we do. So what could be wrong with that? But we've learned that with a constant go, 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 comes a lack of rest, both physical and rest in God. In the thick of quarantine, my parents had a Skype dinner with a couple that outside of the pandemic, they would see for dinner every other week. They would cook these wonderfully delicious and sometimes elaborate dinners and trade off hosting every other week. During this Skype dinner, my mom's friend said, "Never again will I ever worry about making sure my house is perfectly clean before you come over. I'll just be happy to see you." As I said, we aren't always provided with what we want. I'm sure many of us feel it would be absolutely wonderful if we could be provided with whatever we need to put us back to the way things were. But once again, we're reminded that God's plan is bigger than us. It's bigger than anything we face. And at its core is compassion and kindness. His plan includes wilderness, but it also includes manna and quail. The coronavirus has certainly turned our world upside down. Nothing is as it once was, and there is so much that does bring us sadness. But I truly hope and pray that we can look at this mess, for lack of a better word, that we are wading through and see that there are blessings and lessons and gifts and grace being shared with us. We'll never look at a shelf stocked to the brim of toilet paper the same way ever again. And I hope we never look again at our families, friends, church calendar, or our sanctuary without thanking God for the incredible provision that He gives to us. We serve a powerful God who is full of grace, and He continues to provide for us daily. In our scripture, this daily receiving of the manna and quail served as a reminder to the Israelites, and just as much to us today, that God's divine blessings are provided regularly. They don't just come around when He's feeling extra generous or He's in the mood to give us a little boost. The good news is that we as followers of God have no limit to what we can hope for from him, for we know he is a God who loves and cares for us. When we trust in God, we call to him in our time of struggle, whether we feel it to be big or small. We know that he will provide us with what we need, not to be confused with what we think we need. But the ultimate provision given to us by God is his Son, Jesus Christ. For with that provision, we as human beings can experience the fullness of God through relationship with him. Jesus is our manna, the bread of life. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't seem as though the coronavirus is going to just up and leave one day with no ramifications. And it's clear that we still have wilderness to travel through. But as we continue to find ourselves in a time of uncertainty and fear, may we continue to remember that God will always provide and there will be manna in the morning. Let's bow in a word of prayer. And I will be ending with the Lord's Prayer. So I invite you to pray along with me at that time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your continued guidance, blessings, and provision in our lives. We know that we don't always understand what we're faced with and why we're faced with it, but we know you are always there walking with us. Help us to remember that in every situation we find ourselves in or look to, that you have already been there ahead of us, preparing the way. We thank you for your ultimate provision for us, your Son Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Next week, we'll be seeing video clips of those within our congregation answering the question, how have you seen God providing during this time? And I'm really looking forward to hearing your responses. So this is your friendly reminder that if you have not done so already, please submit your videos to the office by tomorrow, August 10th. Let us go into this new week with these words of blessing. May God bless us tomorrow with daily manna for strength and sweet water for refreshment, so that we may live with joy. Amen.